Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. So I'm reading Romans. I get to chapter 12, and I'm reading chapter 12, and I got to the last verses here, the closing of the chapter 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I read these verses, and a thought came to me, and I'm just going to throw it at you tonight, and I pray it don't hurt anyone's feelings. It's been awful sweet. I don't throw water on the fire, but you're probably dealing with someone like this wherever you work, or if you're out in the world at all, you've come across one of these. I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes. I'll preach, teach, whatever, on hotheads. I'm going to preach on hotheads. Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny when I got that thought too. I thought, that's right. Do you know any of those? Yeah. Romans chapter 12, verse number 17. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That's hard not to do. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, I love this condition right here. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. The chance to be in the house of God once again. I count this such an honor, Lord, and a privilege that you let us attend and come to your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. I have felt your spirit in the singing tonight. And now, God, I'm going to share your truth in the word. Now, I pray you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue. And I pray, God, that it be accurate in the scripture. I pray that you'd touch our people. We would be encouraged by this. God, the church would be edified. We pray that my Christ be exalted. I thank you, Father. I love you and praise you. I thank you for all you do for me. I'm so undeserving, Lord. And my God is good. Bless you for thy sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. What we have here, and you Bible students, this isn't anything new to you, but we have chapter 12, I guess. Some people refer to this, some I've read after, as the relationship chapter. It's a relationship chapter. It's how we relate to those that... So if we come verses, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and we're familiar with these scriptures, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, because that's the acceptable, perfect will of God. We see here, down through about verse number 4 or 5, we see relationship with God the Father. It's how it ought to be. Not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. The world is trying to pollute our minds. It's trying to desensitize us to all sorts of evil and violence. And so that children are raised in that atmosphere of constant bloodshed and guts and gore. For a long time, The Walking Dead was the number one show. You can have all that junk, in my opinion. Praise God, I'm going to the land of the living. Hey, I don't care nothing about the land of the dead. But they're bombarded with that stuff. And so, therefore, they're desensitized to what the relation of the Lord. I'm talking about church people. And so what our relationship should be to the Lord is we'd be not conformed to this world, but we'd be transformed with the renewal of our mind. That's what God would have us to be. He would have us think on these things, Paul told us. So we know what a relationship, according to Romans 12, I think Paul was an authority on the subject. He knew what it ought to be. He'd been so far the other way that when he got it right, praise God, the Holy Ghost revealed to him and the Word of God showed him some things and God took him and taught him himself. Now that's the right school, by the way. I'm not against education, but I'm afraid a lot of it's formalism. And when seminaries are teaching you contrary to the Word of God, that's conforming to the things and that pressures around them just so they'll get dollars.
Amen.
So we see that relationship. God's very clear in that, how it ought to be. Then we come down. Then it's relationship with believers. In the next verses, we see this. Let's just jump down here and find this verse. Let's go to 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. But kindly affectioned. What? One to another. How a relationship with believers ought to be. It's sad. I saw a post the other day, and I've been following these guys quite a bit because they can preach. But one of them put a post on there, and I'm going to have to check and see if I'm staying in this path or not, because he was condemning some people that's pretty popular in the preaching circuits, and some of them's on TV, or the biggest part of them's on TV, and they have pretty large followings. And he said some things about him that was just not very kind. Now, listen, we may have some theological differences, but I ain't going to get up here and bash my brothers. Now, the Bible's plain about marking them which preaching contrary to the Word of God. That's very simple. Listen, if they're out there and they're throwing this heresy out there and telling you to give $1,000, to give $1,000 to get $10,000, that's not in the Bible. That's not there. Yeah, but I'll mark that kind of garbage. But let's just right off. I've got some Church of God folk here tonight. What? So because someone has a theological idea of practicing tongues in their church, I'm not going to kick them. I'm not condemning them people to hell. I'm not going to say they're wrong. I've preached in their churches a bunch. And you know why they asked me to come preach? Because I don't condemn them for what they do. One guy said, what are you going to do when you get there? I said, I'm going to preach the Bible just like I do everywhere else I go. I'll let God take care of all that other stuff. I wish St. Alphonse would invite me over to Mass one day. I'd like to preach John 3:16 to them. But I don't expect to ever get an invitation. I'm just saying, you got to be careful with who you're condemning in the Christian realm. You better be accurate. You better know that it's contrary to the Word of God, not a theological difference. You better be sure about it, and then you better be careful before you mark them. I'm giving you good, straight truth tonight, talking about relationship with the believers. I don't have any problem. If somebody's on this page, I had a fellow ask me the other day, said, are you a fundamentalist? I said, I think I am. He said, I would have thought so. I thought that was a compliment. To some people, it would have, you know, that it took that as an offense. But I thought it was a compliment. I said, here's my thought on that, brother. If you can line up with this book, if you can get me, if you can agree with me on a virgin-born Savior and a sinless Christ, and the death on Calvary for the sin of the world, and buried in a borrowed tomb and raised the third day, and ascended to the Father and making intercession for us 40 days later, and then sent the Holy Ghost to birth the church on the day of Pentecost. Bless God, we can get on the same team that way. But now if you don't have none of that, man, you on different teams. So it's relationship with the church. We should have, when we meet a brother somewhere, No matter their denominational differences. And by the way, there's no denominations in heaven. That's going to hurt some of them's feelings real bad when they get there. But just your little clique's not the only one going. It's all them been born again, praise God, and have the Spirit of Christ and trusting in the Lord to get them there, because you can't get there any other way. Now, I don't know. May upset somebody there, but that's just the way it is. But then we come to verse number 17, and this is the relationship with unbelievers. And he even tells us to be good to them. You've been smoked in a deal. There ain't a man in this room going to admit that. You wives can whisper it to me later. You's going to make a deal and you got smoked. And the guy was a Christian and he said, "That's just good business." Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest. And look where he says to do it at, in the sight of all men. What does that mean? That means somebody is watching you. So I worked out at a ceramic plant for a lot of years with Steve Galloway. We done a lot of work out there as outside contractors. And then they hired me on when we helped set the equipment over in Plant 4 when it was being built. There was a fellow hired me there, and he was the new plant manager. So he hired me, made me a pretty good deal, and he hired me, but the guy was a jerk. And he'd cuss people real bad. He would cuss me, but he wanted to. But he was afraid of me just a little bit, not because of Mike McCoy, but who I represented. It bothered him. And so that guy, we had a water leak one day, and we'd done a little of everything. And had a water leak, had an inch and a quarter water line that had ruptured, and we had to put a new piece of pipe on it, and it's full of water, and it's full of water for 2 miles nearly. Couldn't get the water out of it, so every time I'd solder the joint, thing leak again on me. And I'd shove bread in it. I'd done all the old plumber's tricks trying to get it stopped and try to hurry it up before the bread soaked up water. It'll just wash out. Nothing was working. And that cat pulled up on the bicycle, and he's sitting there watching me, and I've been about 2 hours trying to, well, and this thing's got, it's got the press shut down. And he's staring at me like this. Every now and then I'd just lean over the side and say, "How you doing down there?" And he was trying to get on my last nerve. And I'm just going to tell you, I've got a last nerve. And I preached this the other day. And I know it by experience. And so, when finally, praise God, finally that thing sealed up and didn't leak anymore, we got it all turned back on. It had been, what should have been a 15-minute job was about 4 hours later. He's all bent out of shape. And I walked in the break room, and some of them in there was trying to give me a hard time, and I just broke in the song. I just started singing Amazing Grace. You know what? That'll shut the devil up every time. Just trying to be honest, trying not to lose my cool. I'd like to have thrown a chair through the window, but I didn't do that. It's better to sing Amazing Grace than throw a chair through the window. If it is possible. Paul put a condition on here for a reason, because it's impossible. It is impossible to live peaceably with some people. J. Vernon McGee gave this illustration, and I liked it so much I want to share it with you tonight. Some of you may have read it. McGee said that he pastored in Tennessee at this time. I said, there's not a doubt. So he had this woman in his church, said, "Listen," said, "I need you. I've got a neighbor. She's awful. I just can't hardly live with this woman next door. Would you please come and talk to her?" And he said, "I will. I'll come talk to her." He said, in the car on the way over, I was thinking my church members probably got a little bit to do with this. Because I'll tell you something, after living 60 years, I've learned there's a little guilt on both sides of the coin. Most of the time. He said he pulled up in the yard, or the drive, and went over to speak to that lady. She cursed him like a dog and cursed his neighbor, her neighbor, and everybody else. He said, I come back and told my neighbor, said, you can't live peaceably with her. Can't do it. That's why Paul put a condition right here, if it's possible. Why? Because some people are so full of the devil, you can't live peaceably with them. So what do? You leave them alone. Just leave them alone. That's the best alternative. They can't fight with you if you're not there. Had a guy chase me out in the parking lot one day out of a doctor's office all the way to my truck, trying to get me to argue with him because I pastored a Free Will Baptist church and he is from another denomination, and he's trying to run me down, trying to fight and argue with me. And I said, look, friend, the only thing I know is Christ crucified, and I got in my truck and drove off. It wasn't worth my time. Can't live peaceably with that fella. He don't like it. He don't want no peace. You're going to run into some of them like that. It just flips their switch to fight. And they don't want no peace. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't do it. But rather give place unto wrath. I don't mean, look, that's not. That means to give area to it. You let it come and you don't have to be involved in it. That doesn't mean that you have to receive it, but you just got to give place for it to happen. Are you with me? Now you're going to get a bunch of different ideas on this. I read from several different people, and the best one I could see is when he said to give a place, there is a place that's going to be. You don't have to be in that place. You don't have to be there. Now, if it's a job situation, then you've got to be in that. I know some people that's had to work with just ungodly folk, and that they're just awful. Don't you take their bait. You don't have to take the bait. For it is written, here's why, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, they say that the old saying was, what goes around comes around. Well, as the Bible is more accurate, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'll repay it. Now, what will happen? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Kill him with kindness. That works most of the time. Doesn't work all the time, but most of the time, you kill him with kindness, and it'll work. If they're hungry, feed them. If they thirst, give them drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on their head. It turns them into a hothead. Just burns them up. You ever anybody say that? That just burns me up. If they're wrong, they're a hothead. Because we overcome. We don't overcome evil. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the only way you can do it. So the next time that this occurs, and I've got this for tonight because probably somebody's going to get it tomorrow morning. It's Monday. And when that one walks in there and it's giving you such a hard time and you can't live peaceably with them, just ask them this simple thing. I'm going to the Lord in prayer. Can I pray? Is there anything that I could pray for you about? Sticker shock. Blows their mind. I'm going to go pray. And is there something You know what it is already. Let's just see if they'll confess it. Is there anything I could pray for you about? You need prayer. I'd be glad to pray for you. Now, you might see the steam roll from their ears. Their eyes roll back in their head and their face get red. And if they do, you'll know from tonight that they're just a hothead. And it's God throwing the coals on them. You just kill them with kindness. That's the relationship we're reading about right here for the child of God and the unbeliever. How many want to go out there and practice that tomorrow? No hands. You may get your opportunity. Pastors need to eat this about every week. But if the pastor needs to eat it, the flock needs to eat it. And if we prove this, all things, it's honest in the sight of all men, you know what they're going to say? There's something different about that guy. That girl right there's got, there's something different about her. I've treated them like a dog. Let me give you a quick illustration. I'm done for it, and you can come to the piano. Anybody ever had a stray dog show up at your house? And you're determined. You don't want to kill it, but you're just determined you're going to run this dog off. And you ever just, I'm being kind right here. You ever just give one a little bit of the boot to the side of the head, just go on, Fido. I mean, you don't stomp its ribs out or anything. You just give it a little love nudge in the side of the head. You know, little persuader. Go on, get out of here. You're not my dog. Is anybody besides me that dog ever roll over on his belly and lay right at your feet and look at you like this? And you think, I ain't kicking that dog again. And the next thing you know, that dog shows back up and you've done went in the house and got a biscuit or something and give to it and said, you're not my dog. I don't know why I'm giving you a biscuit, but here. Maybe a poor analogy, but what if we act like the stray dog? And it don't matter how many times they persuade you or kick you, you just ball up, humble yourselves at their feet. And watch them. You know what that is? It's not weakness. You know what meekness is? It's power under control. And you're knowing all along I could get up from here and knock your eyeball out of your head, or I could bite your ear off or doing something violent like that. You know, but we're like the stray dog. That dog could eat my ankles off. Get out of here. He could have me bit before I done anything. He just roll over on his belly, on his back. I thought, what is wrong with this stupid thing? And that's how they may think about us. What's wrong with these stupid people? But you know what? You'll gain their respect. And they'll say, there's something different about that person out there. I don't know why they're that way. And then down the road, there may be a little window opportunity open up. Randall, that guy at work. A little window opportunity open up. You'll say, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Should have killed me in my tracks and flooded me with grace. Who could have called more than 12 legions of angels at any moment and slew everybody in Jerusalem that day and been the only one, him and the angels, left standing. And yet he bowed that lovely head and took the spear in his side and let a crown his head with thorns and bled profusely before the crowd. Naked before the crowd, he humbled himself. Bless God, that's our king. But they'll never crown him again like that. Who is our example but Jesus? Who could have mutilated them at any moment? Could have when the ear was cut off of Malchus' head, he puts the ear back on his head. I wonder whatever happened to Malchus. Let's stand at her feet. She's going to play a verse and chorus or something. If you need to pray about something, you're welcome to come. Father, I thank you.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.